Well, I join the choir and welcome you to Back to the Bible broadcast. New friend Theodore Epp. This is Scripture Text Calendar Month. We have been in this month been mentioning the Scripture Text Calendar for many years. It's one of the most, well, shall I say, popular items that are mentioned on the broadcast. People want it, and I'm so glad that they do. It thrills my heart to think that there are people all around the world who are reading, maybe memorizing, the same verse that I am, or that the other fellow is, or that you're daily praying with the request that happens to be mentioned for that particular day. So I want you to have this year's Scripture Text Calendar. By the way, it's our 40th anniversary calendar, and it's in full-colored pictures with the Scripture verse, as we've already mentioned, daily request, and everything, I think, is just very wonderful. Get your calendar now. 1-2 Family, please. Ask for a free calendar, 1979 issue, and we will be glad to mail it to you now. I have another announcement at the close, but I'll wait till then. I'll give you the address, however, now. Back to the Bible broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501.
Upon you and learn of me, for I
Subject on why do Christians suffer? This is the last of these messages. We have 18 in all, and they are printed in the book. I'll tell you more about that at a later time. Our subject for today as we close this series is suffering and the glory that is to follow. We continue, therefore, on the subject that we were discussing with you yesterday. Now, our Heavenly Father, as we open thy book, and as we speak of thy plan for our life. We pray that thou wilt especially touch our lives. Do something very special. Give us a new anointing and the hearts of people as they listen to bring glory to thy name. For we ask it in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Now the scripture makes it clear that the glory which follows is contingent upon the suffering of this present time. Take, for instance, 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, which says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Now, if we deny him, he will also deny us." This verse is not referred to salvation, but to suffering in the right attitude. The way we deny Christ in our suffering is by murmuring and quarreling and questioning the things that the Lord is allowing to take place in our lives. If we deny him, He will deny us the privilege of that which is to come. Now in Romans 8 verse 17 also emphasizes that the glory is to follow depends upon the present suffering. This verse speaks to all Christians when he says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, if so be that they suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him." Now the same truth is also emphasized in Revelation, 3rd chapter, 21st verse. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne." Now how do we overcome? Well, first, by receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior, of course. In 1 John 5:5 we read, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" So we also overcome in our Christian lives as we walk in dependence upon the Lord and let him live his life through us. So as we appropriate this his strength to bear up under the trial, we become more than conquerors through him that loved us. This is Romans 8:37. Christ overcame by keeping his eyes fixed on the joy that was set before him. But he knew the glory to follow, and he was willing to endure the shame and the pain of the cross because of the glory that was to follow. Now, we do not know all that is involved in the glory that follows suffering, but we need to let the Holy Spirit create in us a spirit of anticipation. The Apostle Paul's spirit of anticipation was seen in Philippians 3, verse 10 and 11, when he said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection," and note, "and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection from the dead." Now, when we carefully examine this verse, we see that the Apostle Paul wanted to suffer with Christ so that he could be made conformable to his life, that is, to Christ's resurrection life right here on this earth, and then the glory that was to follow after. Paul was looking into the future and was concentrating on the results that come from suffering, that is, when we suffer with the right attitude. And we have been made partakers with Christ in his death, in the sense that we have received Christ as Savior, so we died to sin. Now sin no longer, therefore, has control over us, for we are now free to live and to serve Christ. Therefore, Romans 6:11 says, reckon ye you also yourselves deemed to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We experience glory in this life as we reckon ourselves to be dead to sin, but living unto God through Jesus Christ. Not only do Christians have something to anticipate, but there is an anticipation on God's part also. We see this anticipation mentioned, for instance, in Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saint. Well, now, how is it possible to say that the death of the saint is precious in the sight of the Lord? Well, there are several reasons why this is so. First, the saints are precious to the Lord, for they are the Father's love gift to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been bought by the sufferings of Jesus Christ, and the Father rejoices when, after our suffering, he can present us to the Lord Jesus Christ as a love gift because of the way Jesus suffered in our behalf. Saints are precious to the Lord Jesus because they are the result of the suffering of Christ. And secondly, the death of his saint is precious to the Lord because death terminates their sorrow and their suffering. It is true that the Lord has allowed these sufferings, and he could take them away. But then there would be not much glory to follow. But even so, the Lord is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he rejoices when we are released from this life of suffering, and that he can give us his glory. And thirdly, death affords the Lord an opportunity to display his sufficiency. Now, God has supplied our every need, and at death, the Lord has opportunity to reveal all that he has in store for his saints. We must take this by faith now. But after death, we will see these things face to face. And in the fourth place, the Lord rejoices in the death of the saints because at death, they go directly into his presence. Paul expressed this when he said, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body in order to be present with the Lord." The Christian who is absent from the body is present with the Lord. This truth is also mentioned in Philippians 1:23. I read, "For I am in a strait betwixt two," says Paul, "having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." So here again we see that the believer goes directly into the presence of the Lord at death. And of course, this brings rejoicing on his part. Now, Jesus also promised all believers that someday they would be in his presence. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." It's taken from John 14. Jesus also said in the 17th chapter of John, verse 24, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given to me." Now Jesus spoke these words while he was yet on earth, but he was anticipating the day when those who received him as Savior would be in his presence. Christ's reason for wanting the saints to be in his presence was so that they could behold his glory. "The glory which thou hast given me," he said. Now Christ wanted believers to share in his glory also. Previous to this he had said, "The glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Now although we have not yet seen this glory, it is potentially held in store for us. 1 Peter 1:4 mentions, "An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Well, we have to exclaim, what a wonderful Lord. In all of this, we see what a wonderful Lord we really have. God has made a wonderful provision for us. We need to constantly remind ourselves of the words of Christ as recorded in John 14, verse 27. and you have tests and trials. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Christ did not wait until a future time to give his peace to his followers. So you can experience this joy of peace right now. He has arranged everything for us, and is just waiting until that time when he can share his glory with us. Jesus also told his disciples, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, trials, sufferings, and so on. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." John 16:33. So while on earth, Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father and said, "Holy Father, keep thou thine own in thine own name, and keep thou through thine own name those whom thou hast given, that they may be one, even as we are one." Now, even though believers may have to pass through tribulation and trials in this life, Christ wanted the Heavenly Father to keep them so that they might share in his glory after they have suffered a while. These are the provisions that God has made for us. And it is only as we look unto Jesus that we will have the right attitude towards our suffering. I have a little book which is entitled Looking Unto Jesus, written by Theodore Von Arnold many years ago. And he says we ought to be looking unto Jesus, not at our trouble. To count up their number, to reckon their weight, to find perhaps a certain strange satisfaction in tasting their bitterness. Apart from Jesus, trouble does not sanctify. It hardens or it crushes. It produces not patience, but rebellion. Not sympathy, but selfishness. Not hope, but despair. It is only under the shadow of the cross that we can appreciate the true weight of our cross and accept it each day from his hand to carry it with love, with gratitude, with joy, and to find in it our, for ourselves and for others, a source of blessing. A quote from Theodore Monat. Well, as we consider all that God has accomplished in and for us through suffering, and as we see the provisions that God has made for us, we will have to exclaim with the Apostle Paul from Romans 11:33-36, when he said, "How fathomless the depth of God's resources, wisdom, and knowledge. How unsearchable his decisions, and how mysterious his methods. For who has ever understood the thoughts of the Lord, or has ever been his advisor? Or who has ever advanced God anything to have him pay him back? For from him everything comes, through him everything lives, and for him everything exists. Glory to him forever. Amen." This was Paul's great exclamation after he had told us in chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Romans what God had provided for his own people, the people of Israel. Well, we see then that the love of God is in all of this that God is calling upon us to do. Romans 8:35 says, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Christ loves us so much that nothing is able to separate us from his love. Not tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. For he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." You can believe Christ and trust him for everything. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from his love. He will not forget you in your suffering, or permit you to suffer beyond that you are able to bear. So always remember that God's love for us is outgoing. I mean by that, it's from him to us. So submit to him and say, "Thank you, Lord. I know that you are doing this for my good. And I'm waiting upon you to see me through to victory." So be confident that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. My friends, God has a wonderful thing in store for all of us, if we will but suffer with Him. First of all, it will make us mature Christians, perfect us, and then He has a glory that is to follow. Jesus was a great example to begin with, and the others understood it. Paul and Peter have written about it, as I've been reading to you about. And so, we can rejoice in the fact that we can suffer with Him. So rejoice, my friends, in all things, and pray at all times, praising Him for all that He has done and is doing and is allowing to come for. He is doing it for our benefit and for our good. If you are upset because of the suffering that you have, say, "Peace be still, my soul," and just look up into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last month's supplement was a book that contained all these 18 messages. But if you'll write right away, we'll still send you a free copy. Simply ask for the book containing all 18 messages on why Christians suffer, and it will be mailed to you, postage paid and free. I want you to have it, study it, pray about it. Here's our address. Back to the Bible Broadcast, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501. I'm Theodore Epp saying goodbye with this thought. Nothing shows what we are more accurately than the way we meet trials and difficulties.